Can I begin by asking a couple of questions this morning? Is there anybody in this room, you don't have to put your hand up, not high, but maybe part way, or just acknowledge yourself. Anyone here that finds sharing their faith a little bit scary, a little bit frustrating? Anybody in that category? Yeah. Is there anybody here who's been serving Jesus and loving Jesus, loving this community through community ministries or through their workplace for a long time? I think, oh Lord, I wish it was more impacting. I wish it was more fruitful. Anybody in that category? Is there anybody here this morning who maybe gets tired? You think, Lord, I'm trying so hard to win this person, to reach that person, to befriend my neighbor, and I'm not seeing great results. Anybody in that category? I think it's what most Christians go through. And I want to share with you this morning a really simple principle that will change that. Make your ministry, whatever your ministry is, in the home, in the workplace, in your community groups, more effective. And at the same time, help you understand me a little bit better too. Sometimes people look at the way I operate and say, Russell, you gave 6 budgets to that person, but you only did 2 budgets with this person. Why was that? Russell, you spent 7 marriage counseling sessions with this couple and only 1 with that couple. Why was that? There's a reason behind that, and it's a principle I've learned. It comes from John chapter 4, verses 35 to 40, and it really makes a difference to whatever we do for Jesus. It makes it so much more fruitful. I want to speak this morning briefly about harvesting because it's something that will benefit us all, but help you understand me as well. That is knowing when people are open and ready to hear about and to follow God's lead in serving Him. Firstly, let me say it takes a team to make a disciple. There are so many people out there saying, if you just get them to pray a prayer, if you just do this in the street randomly with somebody, they're going to be Christians, they're going to be fine. They're not. It takes a whole lot of believers to meet a whole lot of needs and do a whole lot of discipleship to make a disciple. The goal of evangelism is not to get someone to pray a prayer, but to get someone to follow Jesus for the rest of their life, to experience an encounter with a living God who's so real and so powerful and so loving. It takes a team. I believe it takes a good local church like you. Virtually everybody in New Zealand's been to a funeral or a wedding. Well, they've seen something on TV, they've had some Christian contact with the gospel. And when you and I encounter them, they might have only had 2 or 3 encounters, but what we do next builds on what God's already done in their lives. So we're part of a chain, we're part of a sequence that the Holy Spirit uses to disciple people. I believe we can be the first person someone meets and hears about Jesus. We can be the second or the third, but every single one of us can be at the harvesting end. No matter what your gifting is, no matter what your experience is of evangelism, every one of us can be at that end of the chain where someone, well, it's not the end, that critical point in the chain where someone says, I want to know Jesus. I want to experience God. I want to hear the voice of God. I want to be right with God today. Every one of us can be involved in the whole process, but we can all be involved in the harvesting as well. In John chapter 4, we have a record of an epic encounter that Jesus had with a Samaritan woman at a well. At the end of that encounter, when he boldly told her things about her that only God would know. And she had gone and witnessed to her neighbors and said, come and see this one who knows all things about me. And Jesus responds to that event with these words. Julie, would you grab that mic there and just read for us John chapter 4, verses 35 to 40.
You may say that there's still 4 months until harvest time, but I tell you to look, and you will see that the fields are ripe and ready to harvest. Even now, the harvest workers are receiving their reward by gathering a harvest that brings eternal life. Then everyone who planted the seed and everyone who harvests the crop will celebrate together. So the saying proves true. Some plant the seed, and others harvest the crop. I am sending you to harvest crops and fields where others have done all the hard work.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Jeff. Here's some good news, friends. You can go to the bank on. The harvest isn't months away. It's today. So often people have fed a lie that there's seasons of planting, seasons of harvesting. That's not biblical. Today's the day of salvation. And there are people in our community who are open to the gospel right now, but we need eyes to see. We need discernment to recognize who they are. We're going to talk about this morning. All around us daily, people are ripe for the gospel. Get over focusing on the people you want to be saved and identify those that God has prepared for the gospel, those He's ripened. You can reap now what others have sown. In other words, you can help people who already know a little bit about God today cross that line and experience God personally and come into salvation if you look for the right fruit. If you go about sharing your faith with just the people you want to see come into the kingdom, it's not going to happen as effectively. But if you're looking for the ones God's touched, God's opened, God's been at work, and the ones that are hungry, the ones that are questioning, and you focus your energy and your time on those people, you'll be part of the harvesting. Gathering ripe fruit, helping people come to salvation, is harvesting souls for eternal life. Now, I'm not a great book reader. I'm an auditory learner. But I read a book last year by a man called James McDonald, The Vertical Church. And then it had this wonderful illustration about identifying the harvest. And I'm going to pinch his illustration. And he talked about some people are green apples and some people are red apples. Now, green apple, it's one off my tree at home. It's not ripe. It's not ready. It's immature. Okay? The red apple is ripe. The red apple is mature. The red apple is ready to be picked, to be harvested. Let me give you a definition of what green apples are. Green apples are those people who are not that interested in God, don't want to even hear a message on giving because money's their idol, don't want you to tell them that they're sinners. As far as they're concerned, they're good people. They don't want to make God the boss of their lives. They want to remain in charge. That's a green apple, and the world's full of them. The world's full of them. Green apples might be the person you love the most. They might be your son. They might be your daughter-in-law. They might be your best friend. They might be the person at work whose company you really enjoy. But right now, they're not ready for the gospel. They can take a seed or two or three or ten, but they're not ready to be pushed. They're not ready to hear the gospel. They're not interested in the gospel at the moment. The truth is, if you push a green apple and shove the gospel on them and pressure them before they've ripened, you'll bruise them and damage them. And sometimes the effect of pushing the gospel on someone before they're ready, before discerning what God's doing, can actually stop that person being open to God for a very long time. Once there was a young man, a green apple, that seemed like such a good guy, except God, this God was his possessions and his money, not the God of the Bible. And he said to Jesus one day, "I keep all the commandments. What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Put God above your possessions. Go and sell all that you have and follow me." And that green apple walked away from Jesus. And Jesus walked away from that green apple. He walked away. And Jesus never, as far as we know, went back and spoke to that man again. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 to 62, there are three green apples. Verse 57, along the way someone said to Jesus, "I'll go anywhere with you." Jesus said, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't have a place to call his own." Jesus told someone else to come with him, but the man said, "Lord, let me wait until I bury my father." Jesus answered, "Let the dead take care of the dead while you go and tell about the kingdom." Then someone said to Jesus, "I want to go with you, Lord, but first let me go back and take care of all the things at home." Jesus answered, "Anyone who starts plowing and keeps looking back isn't worth a thing to the kingdom of God." Now, here's a shocking thing for most of us compassionate, caring people who just want to love everyone and treat everybody the same. When Jesus confronted these green apples, he discerned what was happening in their lives. He discerned they weren't ripe, they were green. And he walked away. He walked away. There's no record in church history. There's no record in the Bible that he ever spoke to these people again. Now, we don't know, do we? 20 years down the track, they might have gone through some experience of God, some crisis, and gone to the church and gotten help. But as far as we know, when Jesus discerned they were green apples, they weren't ripe, they weren't open, they weren't ready, he walked away. And he focused his attention on those who were ripe and were ready. To the first green apple, he said, "You're not ready to follow me. I don't even have a place to call home." To the second green apple, he said, "Leave the dead to bury their own dead." Seems extreme, doesn't it? But Jesus is saying, the priority is the living. There are people today around you who can be saved. And that needs to be the priority. Work with the living. Don't focus on the past and the things of the past. There are far greater priorities in the kingdom. And he says, to the third green apple, "Followers, don't look back. You're not ready." If my focus is what happened in the past and all of history and wanting to spend my time in the past but not hungering for what God can do in my life today, hungering for his voice today, then Jesus would say to that person, you're a green apple. You're not ready. A lot of Christians and pastors spend a huge amount of time trying to please people. Well, even a season 20 years ago, when they were working on seeker-friendly churches, where it seemed almost that we'd do anything to look attractive and to appeal to people. The best coffee, the most interesting courses, how to save money, how to get rich, all sorts of things were going on to appeal to people, to attract them to come to church. But that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The gospel isn't come to Christ and have an easy, good life. The gospel is you need a Savior. You need to repent of your sins and follow Him. And He'll give you life and a life that's worth living, full of His love, full of His power. A lot of people are trying their best to attract people to church, to please people. People are often not interested, whereas I think we should be discerning those that are open, those that are humble. Jesus came to save the lost, not the prideful person who thinks they're okay, who thinks I don't need God. He came for the lost. And the lost person tends to be humble. The lost person tends to be honest with themselves. They know they're sinners. They need a Savior. Those people are the ripe fruit, ready to hear the gospel, ready for you to witness to them. They're the ones that Jesus is looking for. Let me give you a definition of red apples. Red apples are those people who are humble. They know they haven't got it all together. They've honestly evaluated their own lives and concluded that it's just not working. Something needs to change. Red apples are facing something, feeling something, needing something, or searching for something. Now, in my experience as a Christian, if you want to witness to someone who's full of pride, you're going to get nowhere. Pride's normally the biggest barrier. When someone says, I don't need God, I'm sufficient, I've got my own religion, my own beliefs, at that point in their lives, sow a couple of seeds, you must speak for the gospel, but don't spend a lot of time there. Pride's a big barrier. It's often when pride is stripped away through redundancy or through a marriage breakup or through some kind of crisis or loss that the once green apple turns red. I've often found too that when a person's new to the area, just moved into Whangarei, or they've just been through a major life change in their lives, they become red apples, they become open. And they're open often only for a season before they become comfortable and self-reliant again and become green apples once again. There are people that we meet every day that you and I reach that are red apples. They're just hoping that someone's got real answers that can help them encounter a real and living God. People are willing to pray for them, to show the reality and the power of God, to share with them, to help them make sense of life. They are people open, not just to things of the kingdom, but any spiritual thing. So when red apples are there and they're seeking God and they're unsure about what the answers to life are, when the cults come across these people, they're open there as well. So there's an urgency for you and I, without shame, without embarrassment, with love and with total truth, to get alongside those people. The fields are ripe. They are red apples everywhere today, not just in a few months' time. Other people have prayed for them. Other people have sown seeds. Other people have witnessed to them. But you might be the very person today or tomorrow to bring them across the line and bring them into saving faith in Jesus Christ. The hard, harsh reality is that person who's open this week to the gospel, that person who needs to hear and see an evidence of God at work, the person who needs to see an answered prayer or miracle, or feel the presence of God, that person may not be that wayward son that your heart's broken over. It may not be your best friend or your workmate that you so enjoy. It might be that difficult person at work. It might be that stranger you've only known for 5 minutes. And the goal is not to say, God, you know, help me win this person for you, but Holy Spirit, who are you working in? Who are you disturbing? Who are you already at work? And then God, give me eyes to see where you're at work. And then, Lord, let me be a co-laborer with you. God, only you can convict people of sin. Only you can save people. But you call me to be a co-laborer. So, Lord, help me spend less time with the green apples and help me see the red apples. And help me speak with boldness and speak with truth and with love and work with you, God, to see people come into your kingdom and grow on to maturity. I want to say to your friends, I want to discourage your friends from bringing your green apple mother-in-law to church, or anyone else who's a green apple. If you get your green apple, your mother-in-law's staying with you for the weekend, you say, "Mum, you know, you're welcome here, and if you come to church on Sunday, we'll give you breakfast as well," you know, and they kind of feel pressured to come to church. You know what'll happen? She'll come to church just to please you because she has to, you know. And I'll preach the love of God and sin is a reality and heaven and hell are realities and you've got to repent of your sin. And she'll sit there like that staring at me through the whole thing. And it may not make any difference at all. Don't pressure people to discern what God's doing and join in with what God's doing. That's where the harvest is. That's where the fruit is. Leave your green apple mother-in-law at home until God does something in her life and she's stirred up and she's ready and she's interested. I want to give you two scenarios, and I want you to do a very Baptist thing and vote on it, okay? Imagine you're a 25-year-old young man. You love Jesus. You love the Lord. And you walk into a room, and in that room are four people. Who should you focus your time and your energies on? A, there's John. He's the captain of the local rugby team. And so many people look up to John. He's a self-sufficient sort of guy. So, boy, if John comes in the kingdom, how many other people will come into the kingdom? B, there's Sarah. She looks pretty hot, you know, and you're a 25-year-old bloke and she's nice to talk to. C, Steve's sitting by himself in the corner of the room, looking a bit awkward. And not our Stephen. No, not our Stephen. He wouldn't. But imagine someone's here in that room, four people, and one of them's kind of sitting on their own. They look at this, just a bit uncomfortable. Just a bit reflective. And fourthly, Amy. Amy's on her phone texting hard out there. Who? Turn to the person beside you. 10 seconds to the side before you put it to the vote. Who should you focus your energies on? You want to use that next half an hour for Jesus. Who's the person most like to be a green apple? Discuss it with the person beside you and you get to vote in 10 seconds. Okay, that's long enough, friends. How many people would focus their energy on A, on John? Put your hand up. How many would go for John? All right. How many would go for the good-looking lady, Sarah? All right. How many people would focus on Steve? Yeah, wonderful people. And how many on Amy? Now, stay good. Now, there are people in the church who are called to reach certain people. There really are. But for most of us, the person to spend time with, to sit down with, is Steve in that scenario. And you find when you walk into a cafe or into a place, just pray and talk to Jesus. Oh, Jesus, who do I talk to? What do I do? He'll tell you. He loves talking to you. You'll feel your heart drawn towards someone. You don't need to know what to say. You just need to be with the right person. You need to be with a red apple. Next vote. Out of these four people, who should you concentrate your prayers and evangelistic efforts on? A, the Mormon guy at the door who wants to tell you about this new revelation that Joseph Smith got. B, a man who seems to believe a whole lot of funny things spiritually, but has so many questions about the Bible, about God, and about Jesus. C, Peter reminds you that Christians are meant to care for the needy. He's got lots of needs, and if you're a real Christian, you better care for him. D, Farouk, your Muslim neighbor, who's never shown any interest in you or your God or your church or all of the above. 10 seconds. Discuss with your neighbor and put it to the vote. Who's the right apple? Who's the right apple? 10 seconds. Okay, Baptist, A, who votes for A, the Mormon guy? Who votes for Amanda? Who votes for Peter? For Farouk, D? Okay. You're going to be fun to serve with, Sue, you are. And who votes for all of them? Share time equally. Now, let me tell you this with absolute certainty. The person It was questionings of a person that's open. It's Amanda. And I would say to you without any shadow of doubt with my experience of Scripture and of the Word of my Christian life with God, if these four people were in front of me, I'd give Amanda 95% of my time and split the last 5% of my prayers and my time with the other people. And that's hard for us as Baptists. Okay, gosh, just love everybody. That's what we do. We love everybody. We serve everybody. But I tell you what, that guy John, who's got lots of needs, he could keep you busy forever and never be open to the gospel. Never. You don't know that right now there's a lady who's confused, who's asking, who's questioning. That's the person God's doing something in. That's the person to go home and say to your partner, to your spouse, you know, to your friends, hey, look, let's pray for this person. That's the person when you see them in the street to make contact with, say, God, tell me what to say. Tell me what to say. That's the person when they approach you for your time and you're busy to make time for that person. Make time for that person. Focus your energies on the person God appears to already be at work in. Friends, we're going to stand together and sing, He's the God of the City. And as we stand with the worship team, let me just say this. November last year, a total stranger to me, a man recognized in another denomination as a prophet, visited me at Rānei when he said, God's going to do a move in Whangarei. One of the mega churches in West Auckland, the mega church of West Auckland, had a prayer meeting in December last year. The pastor there doesn't know me from a bar of soap. He really doesn't, you know. But they had a prayer meeting, and they focused their prayer meeting on God moving in the north. And God moving through this church was mentioned, that this church who doesn't know me or you at all was mentioned again and again through the prayer meeting. Wherever God's at work now, I believe for increase. I believe we're going to be a church that sees people open their hearts to Jesus, not because we're forcing them, not because we're pressuring them into coming to church or trying to follow some program or do something artificial, but because we're people who live on our knees before Jesus and say, Jesus, today, who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to love? Who do you want me to spend my time on? Because we'll be a church that picks ripe fruit, goes where Holy Spirit's already at work, and joins in them as a co-laborer in the harvest. Let's stand together and sing.
You are the light in the darkness.
last week I shared a word that to someone with lower back pain. A lady approached me during the week and said that she had back pain. By Tuesday, she just confessed God's healing. It was completely gone and it's not returned. God is good. God is so good, friends. There are several words of knowledge here I want to share with you, brought to us by a member of the church. And I just want to invite you to be open. Now, at the end of the service, Pam Welsh and Don will be available for prayer. I'd love it if Pastor Steve and Ian were available too. Just a personal request. My wife loves praying and prophesying over people. Because we've got a little granddaughter to raise, Anna, if we can find someone to look after Anna for 15, 20 minutes after service, she would be so keen to be part of that prayer ministry team too. But these will be words for people here this morning. This makes me laugh. Someone is here today whom God wants to heal of tinea in the right ear. Now, I have tinea in the right ear. So I spend my time on the door before and after service rather than praying for people, but I'll hold back for that prayer first before I go to the door. There's someone here today experiencing lymphoma cancer that has possibly reoccurred. Your sickness is not unto death. The Lord wants to heal you. Rise and take your healing. God is not finished with you. Be encouraged. There's a woman here today battling breast cancer. Jesus wants to heal you. He is for you and not against you, and he loves you. There is a need here today for a couple to release their son into God's care with God's forgiveness. And in due time, as you do this, he will come back to you. There's someone here today with a melanoma on their ear, and God wants to heal you today. There's someone here today experiencing anxiety, and God wants to release you into freedom and healing today. There's a couple here today whom the Lord wants to restore the years the locusts have eaten. You have struggled financially, and the Lord wants to rebuke the devourer by pouring out a blessing so big your barns cannot contain it. With an impartation of faith provided, you give to Christ what is due to him. Friends, let's pray together. If those words are for you or you'd like prayer for anything, please come to the back of the church, and front of the church, and let us pray for you. As I say, if you're new to the church, please catch up with Marion on the welcome table. And once my ear's been prayed for, I'd love to mingle with you at the door and meet you as well. Let's pray. God, it's so good to know that healings and miracles and salvation and transformation, God, it's what you do. It's because you're good. It's not about us trying to force or make anything happen, but us just loving you, Jesus, and letting your love flow through us and hearing your whispers and your promptings and obeying. God, as a church, may our eyes be opened to the red apples. May our wisdom increase so that where people are using a lot of time, well, they're not open just yet. Lord, may we love them. May we bless them. May we be kind to them. But Lord, may we pull back on our investment of time. Father, may we be a church of co-laborers, a church of harvesters, a church that say not our will, but yours be done in your timing. God, you lead me today. You show me who to spend time with today. Father, direct our prayers, direct our words, direct our ministries in our home, in our workplace, in our community, and through this church. God, we just commit ourselves into your hands for your blessing. And the benediction this morning from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I pray that God who gives peace will make you completely holy, and may your spirit, soul, and body be kept healthy and faultless until the Lord Jesus Christ returns. The one who chose you can be trusted, and he will do this. Lord bless you, friends.